Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you. You are the great I am. We thank you that you are the all-sufficient one. You're able to take care of everything, every situation, for every person. We thank you that you are the great I am. Thank you, Father, tonight that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. That, Father God, that you give me the ability to speak the Word of God as you would desire it. Help us to get to the people those things that you've shown me that in such a way that it will make a difference in people's lives. And Father, we thank you now. Thank you now for all these things. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated. God is it's good to be in the house of God. How many of you know God is not on vacation? God is not asleep. God is not disinterested in us. Amen. But he is a God who has us on his mind. Isn't that good? And so we need to realize that as we deal with the things that we deal with in life. You know, it's always amazing to me. I like to watch people, and I watch how some people get through the difficulties or go through the difficulties that they're facing or the different situations in life. And some of them, you can tell they pay attention to God, and others, we believe they will. Amen. We're talking about Christians, you know. And so I just want to encourage you to be mindful of the Lord. He is here. Isn't that right? He is here. Some years ago, I heard somebody make this statement, and he said this. He said, God is more interested in our obedience than he is in our comfort. And so I thought, yeah, that sounds good. And so I thought, I went and started saying some of that myself. How many of you have heard people make statements? I got studying the Word, and I found something different than that. It's kind of like this. How many of you ever heard this statement? Well, God promised to meet all your needs, but he didn't say that he'd give you your desires. But you know, all you have to do is look into the Word of God. And, God said he would give you the desires of your heart. What things soever you desire, you know, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Isn't that right? Well, it's kind of the same way with that statement. God is more interested in our obedience than in our comfort. And we know this, that when we talk about comfort, you know, God is not... we're not talking about, you know, our main goal in life being to live on Easy Street. I have located Easy Street. It's actually a street in my hometown. It's only one block long. Every house is occupied. There's no vacancies there, so there's no use trying to get to Easy Street. It's literally there. I can tell you that. And so... I want you to turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. We'll begin there tonight, and we believe that God will help us. Amen. And so this thought, God is more interested in our obedience than in our comfort. I'll just say this to you from the beginning here, that God is interested in both. In both. This is not a either or, but it is it's both. I mean, if you believe God is big enough to handle both. Isn't that right? He says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, I'm reading out of the King James Version tonight, except for where I bring some other translations in to give us some more clarification on it. He says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Say it with me. The God of all comfort. And so we know this then, that he right here is called the God of all comfort. But what does that mean? Well, actually, if you really get a little in depth, you can go to the Greek and start looking into that, and it gives us some insight on that. And the Greek, where it says all comfort right there, he is the God of all comfort. He's not just the God of some, but he's the God of all comfort. Isn't that right? Actually, it's the Greek word pas, paraklesis. And so it actually means, now listen to this, it actually means to call near or to invite, and it means literally this, for to call us to him to help us. To call us, he actually gives us an invitation to come to him to help us. See, here's the thing about comfort, and we're not talking about some kind of empty-handed pat on the back and say, I hope you make it. We're not talking about somebody offering sympathy. We're not talking somebody feeling sorry for you. We're not talking about somebody that tears up at our situation and just shakes their head and walks off. How many of you ever met somebody kind of like that? You know, you go through a difficult situation, you know, and here comes somebody, and they just all choked up and they can't say anything. And so A.T. Robertson said this in his volumes on Robertson's word pictures. He said this: he is the God of all comfort. And then he goes on and says this. He said the English word comfort is from the Latin word confortis, and it means brave together. And literally what God is, you know, you could get this out of that then too, and that is this on this word comfort. It is this, that God wants us to come to him, and he said we'll be brave together. Isn't that something? We're gonna face this thing together. We're going to make it through this together. The J.B. Phillips New Testament says on this last phrase, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, he says it this way: he is our Father, and it says he is the source of all mercy and comfort. He is the source. So we need to look to him, because he's the one that will help us. He's the one that will comfort us. He's the one who's given us the invitation to come to him so he can help us. Come on now. The translator's New Testament says it this way. Listen to this one. The merciful Father, the God whose comfort never fails. Isn't that something? And that's something that we can rest our troubled mind in, is this. Listen, when trouble comes, we can just rest in God. We've already got the invitation from God. He said, come to me. He said, we'll face this thing together. And he said, my comfort, my help will never fail. It'll never fail. Look at your neighbor and say, never fails. The 20th century New Testament, listen to this. It says in the 20th century New Testament, says the all-merciful Father, the God ever ready to console. Now, it's one thing to know that he can. It's another thing to know that he will. But it's really an entirely different, even an entirely different scenario when we know that he is ever ready, willing, and able to help us, to comfort us, and to offer us, listen to me, the kind of comfort that God gives us is the help that we need at the time. You know what I'm saying? And so he calls us to him because he has something for us. He calls us to him. He invites us to come to him because he has an answer for you. He has a solution for you. He has a way that he wants to show you to go. He is never perplexed at the situation you're in. He never, rubs his chin and shakes his head a little bit and says, well, give me a little moment. I need to think about this. Come on now. He is, what does it say? Say it with me. Ever ready to comfort us, to console us. And now, one last one, the Good News Bible. It says, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. Here, this translation calls comfort, it calls it help. So we can say this then, that God, when he comforts us, he is helping us. He is lending a helping hand. He is not just patting us on the back. He is not just, consoling us and saying, I'm so sorry for you. He is not just trying to, help us to feel better, but he is actually offering help. And so God is our source of comfort. And to help us in the way that we need it. One commentary says it this way. He is the God of all comfort. That is, who imparts the only true and perfect comfort in every instance. So I'd like to say it this way, because it says, pas parakletos in the Greek. Listen to me. What it means literally is this, that he is able to help everybody in every situation when they come to him. And if we all come at once, he's still able to help all of us. I'm going to have to go look for somebody to get it, that got to get a hold of this. Now, come on now. I'm going to keep working on this until we get this tonight. So, it's up to you how long we're here. Because I'm looking for your faces to light up with this. The truth of this matter, that he is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all help. And he can help. He helps everybody. He has invited everybody to come to him. He has invited everybody to come, and he is able to help everyone. He doesn't have to turn anybody away. He doesn't have to tell you we've run out. You ever go to a restaurant? Because there's a certain thing they got, and they tell you they're out of it. Crisis, isn't it, Ted? It is for me when I go to a certain restaurant and they tell me, you couldn't believe it. Anyway, it was a great opportunity to exercise control over my tongue. Anyway. Maybe in more ways than one. All right. So let me just say it to you this way. God wants us to be both comforted and obedient. One does not cancel out the other. I'd like to say it this way, that God comforts us while we're obedient, in that he consoles us and that he helps us. Isn't that right? But let me say this to you, that he also will comfort us so we will obey him. Meaning this, that he, as we're with him and as we consider obeying and so forth, he inspires, he motivates us. His help makes us think, I believe we can do this. His help. With his help, I'll be able to do it. I can't do it alone. I don't think I can do it alone. But if he's promised to help me, I think we can do it. And so we need to realize that. So in a real way then, let me tell you something this. Here, let me just give you a couple of things here. One is this. We know he's given us his word to comfort us or to help us. Isn't that right? And so we know this. that the written word of God will comfort us with its many promises. We know that Jesus, the living word, comforted people wherever he went when he was here on earth. He literally demonstrated what the word says. Isn't that right? He didn't look at the multitude and say, "You should have brought your lunch." You know, he didn't look at the sick person and say, "What did you do to yourself?" You know, he didn't say, "You should have eaten your bran flakes or something." You know what I'm saying? Or your oatmeal. Anyway, you know, or whatever it is, you know, that people think you should eat, you know. Did you know he didn't look at that and say, "Well, you know, you didn't take care of yourself. You know, it's your fault that you're sick." Did you ever notice he didn't do that? It's awful easy for us to do that, isn't it? Sometimes we even tell ourselves that. We beat ourselves up. "Well, if I'd have just taken care of myself, you know, that's good. I'll tell you, I should have just done better. I should have just done better." No, Jesus, God says, He says, "Come to me and I'll help you. I'll come to help you. I'll help you. I got some healing for you." So we know this then, that we can go to the Word of God and we can be comforted, we can be helped. The psalmist said in Psalms 23:4, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What is that? The rod and the staff, it's a type of the Word and the Spirit. And so he said also in Psalms 119:50, he said this. He said, "This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word has quickened me." In other words, you know, here's what I'm trying to say is that God will call us to come near to him, but sometimes what that means is not something mystical where I grope for some spiritual reality of something and I'm not quite sure if I got it yet or not. But what he does do is he invites me to his word and he tells me, "Here's some help for you. Right here. Right here." How many of you have gone to the Word and you come away comforted and helped, strengthened, inspired, and you know, you came away believing that you're going to be able to make it now? Isn't that right? Come on now. But God didn't just stop there. Listen to me, he is the God of all comfort. He's got it all covered. He gave us his word. But then Jesus said in John 14:16, he said this, he said, "I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." So you have the comforter living on the inside if you know Jesus as your Savior. And so what I want to impress upon you tonight, actually Jesus was getting ready to leave. He said, "I'm getting ready to leave," but he told the disciples, "I'm going to pray the Father and he will send you another comforter," alos parakletos in the Greek, and it means one like me. One that will talk like me, one that will do what I did. He will continue on doing the things for you that I did for you. And if you want to know what he's going to say, he's going to just talk like I did. He will bring you, now listen to this, he will bring you the same help that I brought. I noticed this, that Jesus never had an impossible situation. Every person that ever came to him, Jesus was just able to do it. Never struggled with it. Never had it. There was never a moment of doubt that Jesus would be able to help them. Every person that came to him. Now, the people he didn't help were the ones that didn't come to him. Do you see what I'm saying? But those that came to him, he was able to help them. And I'd like to say it this way, that the Holy Spirit is here tonight. He lives inside of you. Undoubtedly, he can help you. Undoubtedly, he can give you the comfort you need. He's not just along for the ride. Not only, listen to this, not only has God, the God of all comfort, given us this invitation to come to him, but now he has also, Elos Parakletos, he has come alongside us to help us. We come to him, he comes to us. We have come together, we are now joined together, and we are moving together, we're living together. We have our being together. That's why Paul said, he said, in him we live and move and have our being. Look at your neighbor and just say, I believe I'll make it. Believe I'll make it. In John 14:26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever things I said to you. John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient or advantageous for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And so that Comforter right there, the Holy Spirit, he is here to help us. He didn't come empty-handed. He didn't come and show up and says, well, Jesus told me to be with you, but, you know, I don't know what to do. Can you tell me what to do? No, he came. He knows. The problem is that many times we do not listen to him. So the Holy Spirit talks and acts like Jesus. He does what Jesus did to minister to people while he was here on the earth. Jesus made people whole. He pointed them towards God. He healed them. He delivered them. He provided for them. Everything that Jesus did, the Holy Spirit now does to us. He continues the ministry of Jesus that Jesus had in the earth, brings it forward into the age and the day that we're living in. And the way that the Holy Spirit does that is mostly through believers. I mean, he brings the word. He helps us to get the word. He prompts us to go back into the word, learn the word. And so then he begins to move in the earth where he finds believers that will flow with him. Believers that have heeded the invitation to come alongside to God for help and have allowed the Holy Spirit to come inside to dwell, to help us as we obey what the Father tells us to do. Isn't that right? So we know this then, that this is the design that God has. The Holy Spirit comforted the early church. And so in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, he says that. And I'd like to say it this way. If he comforted the early church, he'll comfort the modern church, modern day church. He'll comfort the church today. Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. And so listen, so God works in the church in a mighty way to comfort, to bring help, to in whatever form that we need. He comforts us by meeting every need, by healing people, by delivering people, by bringing salvation to people, whatever people need. He comforts us with that assurance, I can help. I can do it. Just let me do it. Come along. Walk along with me, and I will do it. But now here's the thing. How many of us would say this? that I've got the Comforter living on the inside. Isn't that good news? I've got the, now listen to this, I've got the Word in me, and I've got the Holy Spirit in me. I would say it this way then, that all of us could say this, we have been comforted by the Lord. We have experienced the God of all comfort. Isn't that something? But now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want us to look again. Let's pick it up again. Verse 3, let's read verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Now listen to this. How many of you know he comforts us in all our tribulation? And no matter what it is we're going through, any, what kind of affliction it is, he is able to comfort us. He is able to help us. He brings us through. He knows what to do. Isn't that right? But now listen to this. That we have that. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. In other words, here's the thing, that we are to comfort others with the comfort that we have received from the Lord. Have I received any help from the Lord? Then I need, whenever I come across the path of someone that needs help in the area that I have received help, I should be able to help them. Isn't that right? Have you been healed? Then you ought to be able to offer that, extend that healing to those that need it. Isn't that right? Come on now. Listen to me. So we need to realize then that out of the comfort we have received from the God of all comfort, we should give others comfort. That is, that we are able. Now listen to this. The word literally means, again, parakaleo. And it means this. Called alongside. That means I got Don right here on the front row. I'm called alongside Don to offer comfort if he needs it. That's what the church is about. We are called alongside one another to comfort one another, to help one another, to bring each other along. Listen to me. The comfort that we have received from the Lord makes me valuable to the person beside me. I'm able to help him. And that person is beside me. They're being comforted by the Lord. They're able to help others also. That's how the church is supposed to work. Out of what we have received from God, we are now able to minister to others. And so the Bible tells us that we are to comfort one another. The Bible says that, and look at verse 5. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, again, parakaleo, it means same word, comfort, also abounded by Christ. In other words, this, that I may go through some things, but our comfort abounds much more through Christ. How does that happen? Christ is the head, we're the body. The comfort flows through the body to one another and helps one another. So we are to comfort those who are troubled or are going through trouble. If you know somebody that's going through trouble, that we are able, we ought to extend comfort to them. We ought to extend help of some kind to them. It may be by praying. And you know, when I mean praying, I mean more than just God bless so-and-so. That really is about as far as it goes, that kind of praying. No, I'm talking about if you're going to pray for somebody, then bless God, pray. You know, pray the word. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray expecting a difference in the lives of those people. Amen? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul said this. He said, you ought to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one swallowed up with too much sorrow. Here's a guy that was in the church, and he had done some immoral things with and sexual things, and so they removed him. And then he repented. Now listen to me. He repented. What did Paul tell him to do? He said, forgive him and comfort him, lest he just give up. Listen to me, my friend. When somebody repents, don't be hard on them. Don't be hard on them. When somebody turns back to the Lord, don't be hard on them. Don't take the attitude, well, we'll see. Listen to me, my friend. What does it say here? Comfort them with your forgiveness. Isn't that an amazing thing? Help them. Help that person with your forgiveness. They need to know that you forgive them. Amen? The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, to comfort those who are feeble-minded. In other words, here's the thing. The word feeble-minded is really not what it sounds like in the King James. It means actually faint-hearted, or in the as it is in the Greek, little-spirited, meaning those, probably indicates those that are discouraged, those who don't have a lot of courage, those who are not brave by themselves. But the Bible says we can be brave together. Isn't that right? Gives us that idea, doesn't it? Come on. Come on, let's face this together. We can do it. I'll be with you. God will be with you. We're going to make it. Isn't that right? And then finally, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says, comfort yourselves together. What does that mean? It means comfort one another of like faith. In other words, how do you do that? Together. That's an indication to me that you ought to go to church. And you ought to go to church for there's some reason that, you know, we go to church because we want to glorify God. We want to obey God. But then there's some other things that are involved that are necessary as far as going to church. And one is this, that we comfort one another. I comfort somebody by adding my faith to theirs. Do you see what I'm saying? When I walk away, I know, bless God, those people are believing with me. And that's a comfort to me. They have helped me by adding their faith. Listen to me. If we would understand the benefit of church a whole lot more, there'd be. I'm amused at Christians that say, well, you know, me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. You know, that's their theme song, and they go out in the woods to get close to God, you know. Well, good luck with the beavers. You know what I'm saying? How much comfort's a beaver going to bring you? You know what I'm saying? I'm just, you know. But anyway, so here. Now listen to me. I'm going to give you real quickly a couple of things here that'll help you how to comfort one another. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:3 that we ought to remind people that of the God of all comfort and how he wants us to come to him. In 2 Corinthians 1:4, it tells us he speaks of Christ. And so in order to comfort some people, you got to remind them of what Christ did for them at Calvary's cross. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, he said, I'm going to give you the comforter. Sometimes you got to remind people of the greater one on the inside. You comfort them with reminding them, look, the Holy Spirit's with you. You're not alone. Isn't that right? So we have those kind of things. Now listen to me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:6 that Paul was comforted when Titus came to him. And that in Philippians 2:19 he was comforted by Timothy when he came to Paul. So listen to me. I could like to say it this way. Sometimes we can comfort others by our simply coming to them. They need to know somebody's standing with them, that they're not alone. Isn't that right? They don't have to say a lot, maybe not even do a lot, but to know that we are not alone is a big thing. Isn't that right? Now, I know, by our coming, we're to comfort others. I've met some people that disturbed me when they came. Job had some people that did not comfort him when they came. They were miserable comforters. They made Job more miserable than he already was. Now, that's not the idea of what we ought to be doing. Some people, listen to this. Here's another scripture. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 tells us to be of good comfort ourselves. So I need to be comforted before I can comfort others. So check yourself before you come in. Don't be all dramatic and have some kind of drama going on and then try to comfort somebody. It really doesn't work very well. So you see, when I come to somebody that's going through trouble or is troubled, I need to make sure that I have received the comfort and the help that I need from the Lord, because it's out of that that I'm to minister to that individual that's going through the trouble. Come on now. Here's another one. In 2 Corinthians 7:7, Paul was comforted by the progress of the Corinthian church as they grew in Christ. So here's the thing. You can comfort others by your progress in the Lord. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you moving forward in the plan of God? That can be a comfort to others, because they'll look at you and say, well, if he can do it, maybe I can too. So we can encourage others by our progress in the Lord, because you see, people are watching us. You got relatives that are watching you. They won't tell you this, but they want you to make it. Because if you can't make it, and you're supposed to be one of the spiritual ones in the family, you know, but if you can't make it, then what hope do the rest of us have? You know what I'm saying? They don't tell you that, but that's the thoughts that's going through people's minds. So they want you to make it, but they don't necessarily tell you that. It's important to them that you make it, because it means there's some chance for them. And then he goes on and he says this in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Paul said this, that we're to comfort one another as a father does his children. Do you know what I'm saying? And I can remember times when it wasn't so much what I said. It was just the fact that they could be with me, and I put my arm around them, my kids, and it was just kind of a, you know what I'm saying? And they knew I cared. They knew I'd do something. They knew I'd fix it if I can. But the biggest and most important thing that they wanted was to know that I was there. And that's the thing. You know what I'm saying? And that's an important thing. That's a big role of a father, is to love their kids. Amen. Care for their kids. Doesn't mean that you always approve of everything, you know, but necessarily. But you still love them, and they need to know, even though they might not. You might not. Well, you know, that might not be the best way, but you know what? You still love them. They need to know that. You know what I'm saying? They need to know that when they come to you, you don't ridicule them, put them down, and call them names and all kinds of things. That's really important, folks. It's really important. God never calls you a name when you come to him. Did you know he won't call you stupid? You know, when you mess up the 47th time on the same thing, when you come to him, he won't call you an idiot. Do you know what I'm saying? He won't look at you and say, well, you dumb ox, what were you thinking? He doesn't call you names, except the ones he has for you. He calls you redeemed. He calls you beloved. He calls you his child. He calls you his daughter. He calls you his son. So it's important not to call names. And then finally, Paul was talking to the Thessalonians about Christ returning, and he told them it hadn't happened yet. He's to talk to them about some of the things, the way it was going to happen. And then he said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he said, comfort one another with these words. Did you know our words ought to comfort people? Our words ought to comfort people. Even further than that, listen to me. He also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, he said that prophecy is to exhort, to edify, and to comfort people. In other words, again, words. 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 It ought to build people up, comfort people. Again, our words are very important. Very important. I think it's very important that we as a body, that we don't look at one another and say, well, there they are again. They're going to do, I know what they're going to do. They're going to act crazy again. Or they'll do something, you know, they hadn't got it right in 16 times that they tried it. I just don't see any evidence that it's going to be different this time. Now, friend, listen to me. We got to believe for one another. Comfort one another with your faith. Maybe they missed it 16 times or 110 times or more times than they can count. But listen to me. You got to keep believing. You know why? Because that's what God does with us. God comforts us. God comforts us. The invitation is extended. Come to me. And then he says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to come alongside you to help you. So I know this much, that he wants us to be helped. His help, his comfort is not based, listen to this, on my performance. If I mess up, I look around and say, where's the comfort? God says, I took it away because you just messed up again. God didn't do that. God doesn't do that. But how many times do we treat people like that? Friends, we can't do that. And then expect God to use us in a great way. You know what I'm saying? Got to keep believing. Say it with me. Got to keep believing. One final verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation, same word, as comfort. Or you could say it this way, everlasting comfort. Everlasting is a long time, isn't it? Everlasting is consistently, time and again, isn't that right? That means forever. And good hope through grace, number 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So I'm simply trying to tell you tonight that God's given you an invitation. Come to him. He will help you. He will comfort you with the help that he extends to you. It can come through his word. It can come by the Spirit. It can also come through the body. And as we have been helped, we are to help one another. We are to comfort one another. Isn't that right? Out of the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. Isn't that right? Stand to your feet. I know this much. One other thing that I'm going to do, and that is this. I'm just simply going to say it this way. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't want anybody looking around. If you would, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The Lord spoke to me and he said this. He said, there's at least one person in this room that you have said to yourself, I don't know what the situation is you're facing, okay? But you said to yourself, if God doesn't do something today or whatever it was, or you said it this way, if God doesn't do something, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you simply slip up your hand and say, that's me. I want prayer tonight. I see that hand over there. Another hand. Another hand. Another hand. I'm going to pray for you. I want to believe God with you. Because you see, tonight, let me just tell you this. There's no need to give up. The God of all comfort is here to help you. He has invited you to come to him. Come to him. There's no need to give up. No need to give up. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is inside of you. He has come alongside you to help you. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you tonight because there's no need to give up. The enemy has tried to get you to give up, to ignore the God of all comfort, the one who helps, who is ever ready to help you, the one whose comfort never fails. He will help you through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, you raised your hand. I want you to raise your hand back up. I want to pray for you. Just right where you're at, just to receive. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come down here. But I want to pray for you. But you need to lift your hand up to the Lord and say, "That's me, Lord." In the name of Jesus, right now, I pray for these people with uplifted hands, Father. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of the devil. In the name of Jesus, I bind every lying spirit, command you to come off of their minds and hearts in the name of Jesus. And I say, in the name of Jesus, every harassment and torment of the devil be bound and removed from them in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you minister to them right now, that you whisper to their hearts and minds the truth of your word, that you are always with them, that you never leave them nor forsake them, that you're well able to take care of them, that you are the God of all comfort, and that you are even now ready to help them in the time of need. And that as they will look to you, Lord, and put their trust in you, that you will help them. You will move for them. Even now you're moving in their life, for you have shown them the truth. And if you have shown them the truth, it is but not only that, to show them that, but also to perform your truth in their life. Because you said in your word, Lord, "Have I not said it? Shall I not also do it?" So, Father, we thank you. The very fact that you have shown them that you are the God of all comfort also tells us that you're ready to do it for them. I thank you now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for these people that have had their hands lifted up, that you help them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, we believe for good things, isn't that right? God is a good God. He is the God of all comfort. Amen. I'd like for the prayer team to come. And for those, the men will be over on this side. The ladies will be on that side. And so, ladies, if you need prayer for anything, you can go over to the ladies over here. And guys, if you need prayer for anything, you can go over to these guys right here. And they'll pray with you. And they'll minister to you out of the comfort that they have received from the Lord. They will also comfort you. And so we thank God for these people that are ready to pray and believe God. All right. We had a first-time guest. If you will find the first-time guest, if you would go get them, Connection Team people, and take them to get their gift, that would be a great thing to do right now. And so, wonderful gift. Let's give first-time guests a great big hand again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like to encourage you Wednesday night, be here. Pastor Hagin will, as far as I know, will be here. And so, planning to be here. And so, it will be a good time in the Lord. It'll be a good midweek boost. And what is it? What does the Bible, and you have an opportunity to do what the Bible said, comfort yourselves together. In other words, somebody's going to need your faith, and you're going to need somebody else's faith and love and hope that they have. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we build one another up as the Lord helps us. Amen. All right. God bless you. Anything else, gentlemen? All right. God bless you. Shake hands with a few people and let them know that you appreciate them.